We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Oh, I started last night. I got a little high and I started a note in my phone called Hi-Dias.
Oh my God, yes.
And the first and only one I wrote was macaroni and cheese, but it's noodles filled with Velveeta cheese, like a ravioli, kind of.
Oh my God, like a tube ravioli?
No, just like, I was thinking just like little noodles with a little cheese inside instead of like on top and around it.
They have like shells, you know, that like aren't like ravioli, but they're like filled with cheese.
Yeah, it's kind of like a ravioli, but it's like that macaroni cheese, you know? I don't know. I was really hungry.
Welcome to the Holy Hour. I'm Amelia Sampson.
And I'm Liz Ball.
And I'm drinking a new kind of seltzer today.
Yeah, Amelia is drinking a, what's it called, a nude?
It's called nude, which feels very appropriate.
Yeah. Send nudes.
I found them at Costco, yeah. Send nudes. Yeah. They're really good.
I had one this past weekend, and I had the peach, and that was pretty good.
That's what I'm drinking right now.
And then I had one other one. Oh, mango.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they're like, so I would say that they're in between like a LaCroix and a White Claw.
Yeah.
Like less flavorful than a White Claw, but still
more flavorful than a LaCroix.
Yeah, exactly. It's like plus a the benefit drink. Of alcohol.
Yeah. We love it. Yeah. Needed a drink today. Liz is drinking coffee.
Yeah. If I start drinking when I have something else to do afterwards, I become useless. Mm-hmm. So.
That's fair.
You know, I'm on my second cup of coffee, first caffeine.
Yeah, nice.
I was like, if I'm not productive today, I will end it all.
Well, I mean, I totally understand that. Yeah, no, I'm like, maybe this is like a character flaw, but I can like just drink a seltzer and have it be like a chill thing. Whenever I say that to people, they're like, that sounds a little like you're drinking in the middle of the day and making excuses for it. I'm like, well, no. No, it's kind of refreshing, and I need to take the edge off today, so fuck off.
I saw this tweet that was like, two beers is the perfect amount, and I feel like that's where you're at.
Yeah, yeah. I'm drinking two seltzers, and everything's fine. I really feel like my psychiatrist is starting to make sense to me. He's like, you have an issue.
No.
No, I don't. I'm just enjoying the seltzer.
Yeah. There are so many people out there who, you know, they have the party monster in their head who's uh-huh. like, oh, you're drinking?
Yeah. Well, we're getting fucked up.
Yeah, that means we're gonna get drunk.
I need the edge off today. I came over to Liz's and started venting about something that I will open up about when I'm a little bit less emotional about it. But I need to take the edge off today. So here I am.
Sometimes you need two seltzers.
Sometimes you need two seltzers. They called me Two Beer Samson in college because I would show up with two beers to every party. Perfect and I would get amount. Fucked up because I would never drink in college. Yeah. So like my tolerance was really, and I also was not eating. So like my tolerance was very low. So everyone's like, oh, Two Beer Samson's here. Yeah, well, that's my legacy. Now I'm Two Seltzer Samson, which has a better ring to it.
Yeah, it does have a nice little ring.
I like that.
Two Seltzer Samson.
Okay, I found this question. The sex act of shitting on someone's chest and then pressing it with a tennis racket is called, yeah, that exists, A, Alabama Ace, B, Detroit Dirt Slap, C, Cleveland Hot Waffle, And D, Philadelphia fecal flop.
I'm going to guess a Cleveland hot waffle.
Okay, why?
Just like the waffle thing. Yeah. And then the Cleveland Browns.
Oh, yeah. I didn't think about
so
that.
So maybe, so that. Otherwise, I would have guessed A, the Alabama one. Because that seems like some Alabama shit.
If anyone's going to do that, it's someone in the South.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're right. The answer is Cleveland hot waffle. It's part of this game called I Wish I Didn't Know. That's like the whole game is just shit that like you could have gotten your whole life without knowing and been okay with.
Yeah, I didn't know this, but thanks for sharing, I guess.
But they posted it because there's like there's another sex move called the Cleveland Steamer or something.
Oh, yeah, okay, I've heard of that, and I can't think of what it is.
Me neither, but, like, they're like, what is it about? Are they just doing a bunch of freaky shit in Cleveland? Like, there's all of these.
Ohio's a weird-ass state.
Yeah, like, why Cleveland? Like, are they really just shitting on each other's chests and pressing them down with tennis rackets in Cleveland?
Why would they? It doesn't make any sense to
me. I don't know. Why is that a thing? Like, we never want to kink shame, but, like, why is that hot to you? And is it actually a thing? Slide into our DMs. Let us know. Have you ever Cleveland hot waffled? Let us know. The Holy Hour Podcast at gmail.com.
I mean, so many kinks are related to shame. So.
What happened in, like, your tennis camp? I'm so concerned.
Oh, my gosh. Well, the question I was going to ask you is less crazy than that. I was going to ask you, what's the best and worst gift you've ever received?
Oh. The best gift I ever received. Shit. This year, Katie, my best friend, made me that video. Because it was my quarantine birthday. And she made a video of everybody, like, from all walks of my life saying happy birthday. Which was so special because, like, that would have never have happened if the pandemic wasn't going on. Mm-hmm. And it was a bunch of people that I haven't talked to in so long. So that was probably the best gift I've received. The worst gift that I've ever received. This is actually a prompt on Hinge, and, like, I was thinking about it. I've thought about it often.
Oh, yeah.
I don't really, like, get bad gifts. Someone got me a dictionary one year, and, like, that kind of felt like a
jab or something.
Yeah, they're like, learn better words. Or educate yourself on English, because you're bad at it. Like, I don't know why they got me a dictionary. It was a family member, so it wasn't like... Like, if a friend would have gotten me a dictionary, I'd be like, oh, I have my phone, you know? Like, I just Google definitions if I need it.
But also, like, you talk so much and you know so many words.
Yeah.
It's just like...
Why do you think I need this? So I don't know if that was, like, the worst gift, but it was for sure the most confusing.
I mean, are you out here using that dictionary?
No. No.
I would say that has to be the worst gift then. You're not using it.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense.
Dictionaries are just kind of archaic, like, at this point, which sounds, like, really kind of fucked up in, like, 21st century to say, because it's, like, that's our language, but you could just look it up online. Like, the whole dictionary is available online.
Well, and then if you don't know how to spell something, you can't find it in the dictionary.
Right. The only time I use a dictionary is when I'm playing, like, Scrabble. You know? Yeah.
And
like,
even then you use your phone.
Yeah. Or, like, the little dictionary that comes with Scrabble. So I'm like, it's just all very,
Last time
understand.
I used a dictionary, it was probably in, like, fifth grade.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, shit, we have a computer.
Yeah, right.
With the internet.
Why am I flipping through
this
book?
Dictionary.com?
Yes.
And then, because you have that option, it's like, did you mean this word? And you're like, I did mean that word.
Yeah.
I think I know more words because of the internet.
Absolutely. I mean, thesaurus.com.
Yeah. God, as a copywriter, thesaurus.com is my best friend.
Yeah, I believe it. You can right-click on word and look up synonyms of words.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is that. I don't know. There's no need to have a paper thesaurus, and there's no need to have a paper dictionary.
No.
So that was probably my worst. What about you? What was your best and worst?
My best gift was a gift from my old boss when I worked at Abercrombie. So when she promoted me, she got me a plant. And then I can remember the card, like, almost perfectly off the top of my head. And she said, Liz, I know this plant is a little weird, but it's the gift that my boss gave me when they promoted me to the same position. And I still have like, the plant is still alive today. And she's like, every time I water it, I think about how much I love my job and how happy I am to work here. And, like, that's why she picked that for me.
I love that.
And it was, like, so meaningful.
That's so thoughtful.
She is, to this day, like, I'm so thankful that, like, my first, like, big girl job, I had such an amazing boss.
Yeah, that's a unique experience.
Yeah, she's such a great person, so.
Are you still in touch with her?
Not really, no. Like, she doesn't work there anymore either, so. But she was just, like, such a great person, and she had been working at Abercrombie for so long. And then now I think she's at, like, Michael Kors or something. Something cool.
That's so. And she's just, like. For her to put that much thought into something like that, that's huge.
The other, like, store manager I was with, like, when she got promoted, she's like, I just got, like, a bag of candy.
Yeah, your relationship with her was
and
different.
I was like, that's because me and her have a special bond.
Yeah.
That I can't explain to you.
Yeah, that's really
so that was
amazing.
That was definitely the best gift I've ever gotten. Sadly, that plant is with my ex. I know. But
I wonder if it's still alive. Probably not.
Actually, it probably is alive.
Really?
Those things do not die.
Oh.
But I also can't see, like, why he... I mean, the only reason he would get rid of it is if it reminded him of me. Mm-hmm. But also, he likes plants, so...
Oh, so he's, like, a plant person. I was like, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Doesn't strike me as somebody that can take care of anything.
He can take care of this plant that needs little to no water.
That's the very least. The least you can do.
Yeah. So that was the best plant I ever got, and the best gift. The worst gift I've ever gotten is from my ex's mom. My ex's younger brother had, like, this really basic ass, like, fiance, and even though she was basic, like, all of the gifts she got were cute because she was kind of boring, and then all of the gifts I got were, like, weird because I'm, like, the quirky girl.
Yeah.
And I was just like, god damn it, I don't want that. Like, I want something cute. But I feel a little bad saying this because I do really love his mom, but she got me this set of pajamas, and the shirt said, let's eat grandma, and then the next sentence was like, let's eat comma grandma, and then it said grammar is, or punctuation is important.
No.
I know.
Did you just give them away?
Yeah, I didn't wear it a single time. I donated it the second we broke up.
Yeah, it's like, I do not need.
She got me all kinds of ugly stuff. And I'm just like, what? Why did you get this for me?
Right. It's like, she was like, oh, she has a good sense of humor, so.
She's like, quirky. I'm totally gonna get her these, like, rose pattern velvet leggings.
Oh my god, that is so fucking funny. That is so funny.
One time she got me, like, this really ugly pair of shoes, and then she, like, tried to get me a dress or something, and I was like, I don't like this. And then she was talking to my mom about it, and my mom was like, yeah, that has been my life since she was born. I like what I like.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
I don't think she's ever gotten me something that I was like, this is really cute.
It comes from a good place.
Yeah, she's also one of the people who, like, gets me cat things.
Oh.
Oh, she got me this set of earmuffs with cat ears on them.
Oh, no. Oh, my gosh, so it's, like, the muffs and then, like, the cat ears are, like, up here. Yeah. I've seen those. Oh, my,
like,
god.
Why do you think I would ever fucking wear these?
Yeah.
Have you ever seen me wear earmuffs? First of all.
Right. I don't even know the last time I wore earmuffs. Somebody got me earmuffs that are headphones. Those are kind of cool.
Oh, that is kind of cool.
Very usable.
I do wish that. I'm like, okay, if you saw something that would be super on brand for me, it would be, like, a beanie that says, like, go away.
Yeah. I would wear that.
Or just no.
Yeah, right. That's so funny.
Yeah, she got me all kinds of tacky stuff.
But it's so hard, like, saying what, like, the worst gift is, because it's, like, even stuff like that is, like,
it comes from a good place of love, yeah. But, like, also it's so tacky. It's, like, I think that's totally how my ex's mom, like, she looked at me. She was like, when I think of Liz, I think of cats because she has them. So I'm going to get her cat things.
Yep.
Like,
yeah.
I'm like, why is this my brand that other people are giving to me?
There's other things.
The only cat things I have not gotten rid of are the things that my mom has gotten me. Yeah. And that's just because I love my mom.
Yeah. Love that.
But all the other cat stuff, I'm like, no. Mm-hmm. If it's not from my mom, I don't want it.
Right.
But if someone were to, like, draw a picture of my cats, then I would keep that.
Yeah, that's different. Nice. Yeah. That's different. See, that's like from the heart, and like actually like love was put into that rather than exactly. Just like, that's a cat thing. Let's have cats, we'll get her that. Like, yeah. It's just kind of like a lazy way to like gift something.
Yeah.
I want to read to you. I know that we have like stuff that we've talked about. Also, I have a new blue check mark in my DMs that I want to tell you about.
Ooh.
Just a little bit of context of who she is. It's not like a whole thing. But I grew up in Redmond, and across the street was a family, and there was a girl there that was my brother's age who kind of like adopted me as a little sister. Her name's Ari. She's just the greatest. She lives in Tel Aviv now. She's far, far away, but she's been listening to the podcast, and she texted me and she was like, I just have to read you this rant because it's the best thing. She said, if you've already talked about it on an episode I haven't gotten to, please direct me, but holy hour idea. Men's fucking hygiene, in all caps. They all think, I shower almost every day, I brush my teeth, and then they're good. But it's not mainstream to talk about how their disgusting, rarely properly cleansed beards are full of bacteria, not only making our faces break out, but adding to causes of razor burn and even UTIs. It's fine, I'm clean. Okay, but can you go wash your fucking face first? Thanks. This rant is brought to you by the fact that I've done two types of peels in 3 weeks and got to directly see just how a makeout fucked up my skin, which I've never really thought about.
Me either.
I'm just going to ride this rant out because I know you get me. Ha ha ha. And then she continued. But as a female, when I know I'm likely to hook up, things are shaven and tidied up. I'm moisturized. I'm baby wiped fresh. I'm wearing cuter undies than I would be otherwise. And if I had noticed, I spent multiple days doing my skincare routine with the mind of what was coming. Am I insecure, vain, a perfectionist? Who knows? All of them, probably. But I put in so much effort. And you better bet right before things escalate all the way, I'm having to pee. And really, it's to check the situation down there to see if it's clean, clear out any excess discharge, and whatever normal female body things men are scared of aren't around to terrify them. But they can't be expected to take 30 seconds to wash their beards before rubbing it all up in our most sensitive areas. It's absolute bullshit. I can't believe we haven't talked about this before. I had an ex I was long distance with that my skin, both areas, would be riled up when we saw each other, and I'd be like, is this from being out of routine? The one night I fell asleep without makeup on, but I don't have makeup in my bikini area. And then offhandedly said how he's never used face wash and just washed his face with water and maybe hand soap. This is the shit that drives me insane about men. They can wash their face with hand soap and look like a baby's butt. And I was like, Jesus Christ, no wonder my skin is freaking out. Oh, well, sorry I never considered it would affect you since I have clear skin. Oh, what? You, a man, was never taught to consider what disgusting bacteria you're spreading to a woman? That's shocking. It just blows my mind. We're basically expected to shave, wax our most intimate, hard-to-reach areas, but them washing their faces is too much work somehow. This is something that I think about frequently because, like, men use, like, 2-in-1 or it's, like, 3-in-1 shampoo, conditioner, and body wash, and they, like, just use that. And they're fine.
I literally never thought about beards.
Can you imagine how traumatic that was for me as, like, a beard
aficionado?
Yes. Like, you know how much I love a beard. And I'm like, oh my god, they're filled with so much bacteria. Apparently the number one thing that was found in beards was fecal matter because they don't wash their hands a lot.
Ew.
And then they'll like touch a surface and then touch their beard, you know, and it's like,
I'm upset.
Ugh. And I love beards, Liz. Like, what is this thing where, like, we are always feeling inclined to, like, make ourselves just, like, as presentable as possible, wash everything, look really good, nair our vaginas.
We've talked about this so many times of just, like, that's a result of so many things.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And, like, not really knowing, like, what and the other person's expecting of you. But then they can't wash their beards.
It's an idea that is sold to both men and women.
Right.
Women are supposed to be hairless and perfect and smell good and be ready to fuck you whenever you want, and I don't know. And milk is supposed to spray out of their
across the room full force. I just, like, dishwasher is coming to mind because, like, he'll shower before I come over. I haven't seen him in a while, but he would shower before I came over. And then, like, his hand would just, like, we would be, like, laying in his bed, like, watching something, and his hand would be down his pants, and, like, he'd just be, like, scratching. Like, he just wasn't, like, aware of how his demeanor and, like, how he was, like, composing himself was coming off to me, just not even a passing thought. And I'm there, like, laying a certain way, and, like, I, like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm, like, aware of how my body's looking and how I'm laying down, and that's not me. Like, I don't give a fuck, but, like, I'm watching the difference between how we're composing ourselves, and I'm, like, you smell. You clearly haven't brushed your teeth. Like, ugh. Yeah, I, like, Listerine stripped before I came over here. Like, it just doesn't.
I always brush my teeth before I see my boyfriend.
It's a common courtesy.
Yeah.
It is a common courtesy. So I don't understand, like, I'm saying all this, like, not every man doesn't give a fuck, but it is, I've realized this, that, like, there's always so much more care that goes into.
They haven't been taught the same way, like, mm-hmm. to be considerate of that.
Right.
Or to be thinking about that.
And why would they if they weren't taught it? It's just mm-hmm. like, oh my god, she sent me this rant and I was like, holy fuck, yes. Like, it makes so much sense. Like, they just don't, they are sold things like a 3-in-1 soap.
Yeah.
We aren't.
Yep.
And that's in itself.
What if we just start just being ourselves?
I mean, I've...
And not worry about... You know, I was watching this TikTok where this girl is like, when a creepy guy is like staring at her, she'll raise her arms because she doesn't shave her armpits.
Yes.
And she was a smoke show. She's so fucking hot. And then she has these hairy armpits. And then people were like freaking out in the comments. And then the other comments were like, you're just like proving the point. But of just like, oh, you're going to like sexually objectify this girl, but like freak out when she has hair in her armpits. Can you stop? Go away.
He has some stuff to say. He's like, wait, hold on. I shower every time I see a girl.
No, he's terrible at grooming himself.
Ooh, yeah, that's why you have an opinion on it, Grandpa.
He would be gross if Gatsby didn't help him.
Oh!
He has a lot of fur, though. I've had to cut a few knots out.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. He loves it, though.
He's like, yes, Mom.
He likes being groomed, but he doesn't want to do it himself. But anyways.
And therein lies the problem, Grandpa.
So, but I was just thinking about, I'm like, why is it so gross for women to have hair on their bodies? It fucking grows there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's there for a reason.
Everyone.
Yeah, I mean, there's like hundreds of years of undoing there.
Stop.
It feels very American, though. Like,
oh, absolutely.
I think it's a whole stereotype that French women don't shave. Like, so why do we have to do it?
Yeah, they're like, and we don't. French women are hairy, and it's like,
yeah.
So. Yeah,
so are you.
Hair grows there.
Yeah, right. Don't know what to tell you. No, don't.
Yeah, man, like, hair grows there.
Yeah.
It's not gross.
No. It serves a purpose.
Yeah, and that there's no, like, indication that, like, if you don't shave in a particular place that you're not clean.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what is that idea? It doesn't make any sense.
It really doesn't.
But I was thinking the other day, and this is kind of gross, but as I told you earlier, like, I've been going to this super intense workout class. So when I came home the other day, as I was, like, taking off my sports bra to get in the shower, I, like, caught a whiff of my sports bra, and I was like, this smells like balls. Like, literally, like, it smells like a man's balls. And then I was like, so often, like, dudes' balls are... just smell like my sweaty sports bra. Just like, I saw a That's tweet problem. That was like, men, take your hand and wipe your ball sack and smell it, mm-hmm. and then ask yourself if you deserve a good woman.
Seriously. No, that's the thing. We talked about that on episode 1 or 2. We recorded that day.
Yeah, just, like, how many sweaty ball sacks have you had smacking you in the face?
Yes, and, like, there's this whole thing about women's like about vaginas smelling bad and like being gross, and it's like, well, but we don't ever really talk about how bad balls smell, because like it's really gross, but they aren't really, either they know and they don't care, or they don't know. It's one of the two. It's one of the two, because fucking fix it, like dab a little baby powder on it. Do something, because like the extent that we're going to not smell a type of way.
Or you know what, if men are gonna be like that, then we should just be allowed to do whatever we want.
Exactly. You can't, it can't be this like double standard.
Exactly.
It's not allowed to be. I can't.
Of course, really everyone, like, we need to treat each other like humans, you know? Like,
yes.
Like, I understand if your balls get sweaty sometimes, mm-hmm. you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you don't need to, like, it's a lot to ask someone to, like, constantly be, like, perfect.
Yes.
And I think that we just need to treat each other that way. Mm-hmm. Of just, like, yeah, you know what? Sometimes I'm gonna smell.
Oh my god, wait, he actually burned his tail. Oh my god.
Oh my gosh.
Oh.
Oh yeah.
Let's move this over.
Dumbass.
Good
cats.
Lord. Are you okay? Did that hurt?
He's fine. My cat, I have a candle lit on my coffee table, and my cat's big fluffy tail waved into it. Come here, buddy.
He's like, I'll give you something that smells bad.
What is wrong with, he's being kind of weird. Fuck, what were we saying? Yeah, just treat people like people.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes my hair is going to smell like sweat.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't wash it every day.
No, me neither.
I don't know.
Yeah,
but
I
that's
know.
Did I ever tell you that's how Shoe Man was about me? I mean, he was always, like, super type A and, like, would need to, like, smell perfect, and, like, he wouldn't ever fart around me and was like so weird about having to poop. It's just like every single thing does this, like,
yeah,
we're gonna poop, we're gonna have to fart.
Yeah, what is it about guys thinking that girls don't poop? Where do you think the food goes? Like, or yeah, just pretending that girls don't poop, like we do.
But like if I just wasn't like totally perfect, he would freak out.
That's like so toxic and disgusting, like,
well, and I'm just like, if you are expecting us to get married and for us to have kids together, how are you going to handle actual birth?
Yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah. It's not like
you're living in,
the
in a la la land.
Yeah.
And
that's gross.
Yeah. I'm happy to say I'm in a fart positive relationship.
I love that.
I haven't really farted around him just because, and it's not on purpose. It hasn't happened, but yeah. He is not afraid to rip ass right in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes away the pressure to, like, have to be, like, this idea of a perfect girl.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I don't have to feel uncomfortable either. I can just be candid.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
It took years for me to fart around my ex. Like, 4 or 5 years.
It's just, like, it's gonna happen.
Yeah.
Why do we have to?
It's a normal body function. But,
exactly.
Like, I was so insecure, and I, like, wanted to be something that I wasn't. And, like, I was doing the whole, like, having to shower. Like, I left my sweater in his dorm when we first started dating, and it had deodorant stains in the armpits. And I was,
like,
chaotic
God.
About getting it back before he saw them. Deodorant. And, like, I don't know. Eventually, we got to the point where, like, I would seriously, like, pee while he was in the bathroom. Like, it turned into that kind of relationship. And I loved that. Like, I loved being able to be so comfortable around him, but mm-hmm. it took so long to get there. And now it's just like, well, that's what you should strive for everywhere. Like, you, just somebody that treats you as, like, a normal human being that doesn't need to
with,
be anything.
With a body. Yeah.
Yeah.
Our bodies do things.
Right.
Like, when I had my IUD, I was just, like, bloated constantly.
Mm-hmm.
And when I had really bad anxiety, I was really gassy. And it's so interesting to see how anxiety affects your body.
Oh my
but
God,
it was just, like,
yeah,
I
so interesting.
My ex was so fucking weird to me when I would fart. And I was just, like, why can't you just be understanding that I have, like, hormones going crazy for birth control I'm taking for you,
mm-hmm.
you fucking mm-hmm. asshole.
Yeah.
And, like, can you be sensitive to the fact that I am, like, anxious and experiencing situational depression instead of, like, being a fucking dick to me and making it worse?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
All things happen for a reason.
Yes, they do.
And every day I'm just like, thank God I'm not in that relationship anymore.
Seriously, I'm so ready to be in that mindset. That must be such a freeing feeling.
Yeah, to feel like you're like, God damn, I'm glad I'm not in that circumstance anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep, I mean, liberating. It took a while to get there, but then also it's just like, yeah, it is really like...
liberating.
Yeah, it's a huge relief.
Mm-hmm.
And even now, like, telling my mom, like, I've slowly, like, started opening up about that relationship to my mom more, which is kind of ironic because I have this podcast where I talk about every corner of my life, but...
yeah.
I've just been, like, slowly telling her more and more about, like, what was happening in that relationship and just that it was emotionally abusive, and she gets really upset.
Yeah, I bet. Oh, my God. And, like, yeah. her being so protective of you and, like, not knowing that that was going on must really suck for her.
Well, I didn't want to admit to myself it was going on
right.
at
but
the time.
There's still, like, an element of being a mom and just being like, I should have known. I should have been able to see it. And it's like, well, no, just because mm-hmm. I couldn't even see it. So, like, yeah, it's not – it's that must be tough. But I'm glad that you feel like you're able to be open about it with her now because, mm-hmm. like, that's also a huge step in, like, being over something is, like, being able to just, like, talk about it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Should we tell our spooky story?
Let's do it.
This is our Halloween episode.
Yeah. God, I keep forgetting what month it is because, like, time doesn't exist for me anymore.
I know. It doesn't.
Like, it's Halloween that close. It is.
And my birthday is on Thursday.
Uh-huh.
Like, what I is
know. That? It feels like your birthday party was 2 months ago.
I know.
It's so weird. I fucking hate how quick time goes.
Thanks, pandemic.
Yeah, wow. Awesome. Yeah, do you want to go first?
My spooky stories aren't really that spooky. They're okay. just kind of, like, weird.
Yeah.
And, like, unexplainable. So the first one I have, both of them are pretty short. So the first one I have is when I was, like, 6 or 7, I went to the mall. I was probably 7. I went to the mall with both of my parents, and we went into some, like, accessory store. It was like shoes and jewelry and stuff, and I was like looking at the jewelry, and then I guess my parents left. My mom thought I was with my dad, and my dad thought I was with my mom.
Taylor's all this time.
Yeah. And I was still like fucking around looking at the jewelry, and then I looked up, and then there was like a woman whose hair looked like my mom. So I was like, oh, my mom's still here. And then I continued looking, and then I like looked up again, and then she looked up and smiled at me, and I was like, that's not my mom. And then I was like, what the fuck? And my mom had read me these books growing up. Did you ever read the Little Critter books?
No.
Oh, they're cute. So she had read me a book where like the main character gets lost, and it explains where to go if you get lost, and you go to the desk. And so
I love when children's books do their job.
Yeah. Like that. Yeah. So I was like, okay, I know what to do. I was clearly panicked, and I like went up to the desk, like the cash register, and no one was there. And I was like,
oh no,
looking around, about to start like crying because I could not find my parents. And then someone said, that little girl is lost. It was an old woman in a wheelchair, and she was like by the shoes, and then she's like, that little girl is lost. And then my mom bursts in. She's like, that's my daughter. And then like I like am reunited with my mom, because I've talked to her about this too. She remembers like that happening, and we both turned to look at the old woman in the wheelchair, and she was gone.
What?
Like, this was happening within seconds, like, because my mom wanted to thank her, and, like, there was the store clerk, too, was like, what the, like, because the store clerk came up to us also. Yeah. And, like.
And the woman just, like, disappeared.
Yes.
Yo.
Well, and then, like, a woman in a wheelchair, she's not just gonna get away.
Yeah, right, she didn't make, like, a quick break.
Yeah, and it was wild.
So wow.
That was, like, you know, to this day, we're both like, that was a guardian angel.
Seriously. Yeah. Yes. I mean, someone running the simulation was like, let's move this along.
Yeah.
This storyline needs to...
let's wrap this up.
Yeah, let's get her reunited with her mom.
Yeah. And then the other one that was kind of, like, spooky and... not spooky, but another weird, like, coincidence like that. It was with my, like, first real high school boyfriend. Like, the first person, like, I said I love you to. I... was, like, at his house, and I had my head in his lap, and, like, my eyes were closed, and he was just kind of playing with my hair. And he said, I love you, and I said, I love you, too. And then I opened my eyes, and he was staring at me, like, completely bewildered. And then I was like, what? And he's like, I didn't say anything. I heard it clear as day. And then I was like, I was like, you're fucking with me. And he's like, I swear to God, I did not say that. I was thinking it, but I didn't say it.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Yo.
And whoa. And I, like, the more I think about it, I was like, we were just, like, so young and in love, and it was, like, so pure, because it's your first love, that, like, I was like, maybe it was just so, like, we were so connected with this, like, first love.
Wow.
I could just hear what he was thinking.
Wait, that's wild. I can't even imagine how scary that must have been for him.
Clear as day. A few weird things have happened to him, so maybe he's haunted.
Maybe.
Maybe
he might be.
Maybe he's, like, clairvoyant. What is it when you can hear? Like, when you can see, like, ghosts, you're clairvoyant. But
medium?
I think it's, like, something like clairaudio or something. I don't know.
Oh, I don't know.
We can, like, hear.
Whoa. I mean, it sounds like you're kind of clairaudio then, because, like, he didn't say it.
Maybe he, like, put the thought in my head. I don't
maybe.
Know. Well, that's never happened to me again.
Whoa.
I'm pretty closed off to anything, like, happening. Huh. Like, I think, like, I definitely think there is, like, some like, stagnant energy in this apartment, but...
Yeah.
I definitely also kind of feel like there's maybe some ghosts here, but I think that we both might generally mind our own business.
Yeah.
Because like I have really fucking weird dreams sometimes that there's, like, ghosts in my apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, why else would that happen, you know?
Yeah.
And there, it's always, like,
especially if it's not top of mind for you.
If there's ghosts in my apartment, I always have, like, they're kind of like nightmares that I'm unable to turn on my lights. Like, not a single light
fucking
works.
Hate that nightmare. I have that nightmare all the time.
Yeah.
What is, like, what?
I tell myself, it, like, so in my dreams, I believe it's ghosts. And then, like, I have very vivid dreams of, like, I'm in this apartment. Everything's the same. And I'm trying to turn on the lights. And then I'm just like, get the fuck out of my apartment. And I confront them.
Whoa.
I can't see them. I'm just like, you're not going to fuck with me. Get the fuck out of my apartment. There is no place for you. You need to leave.
Damn.
But...
Oh, I want to know the significance of, like, not being able to turn on lights, like, actually. Especially if that's the feeling that you have. Because I have that dream...
All the
consistently,
time.
Consistently, yeah. Like, of just, like, needing to turn on lights and no lights are turning on. And, like, I'm even having, like, an anxiety response to thinking about it because it's so distressing and when it's, like, in the dream. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like... Oh my God, why aren't the lights turning on? Like, who's behind me? Like, why isn't this working? It's, yeah, and it's usually in my old house in Philadelphia.
Is that the one that was haunted?
No, that was, my house in Bellingham was haunted. But yeah. That was because of me. So. That was because of the Ouija board.
Don't fuck with Ouija boards.
Don't fuck with Ouija boards. Well, that's a good place to start.
Transition to yours,
well,
yeah.
Well, so, like, when I turned 10, my mom threw me a psychic-themed birthday party where I had a psychic. His name was Jewel. He came to the house and he did a psychic reading for me and 10 of my friends. And fitting with the theme, my mom gave me a Ouija board, which is, like, if you don't believe in stuff like this, it's just a toy. You know what I mean? Like, she was just giving me a toy. And so we all did it in the basement that night. And, like, I know a lot of people don't believe in this shit, so this is gonna sound fucking ridiculous, but that was the year that shit started happening, so I know I opened up a portal. Like, I know that I did. Because the next year, I was at school, and my mom showed up at school, which is always scary. Like, why is my mom here?
Am I in trouble?
She was like, I'm flying to San Francisco. My dad was in San Francisco for a business trip, and she was like, I'm flying to San Francisco because your dad's appendix ruptured. Yeah. And, like, not even, like, appendicitis. Like, it burst. Mm-hmm. And... so she flew there, came back, long story short, he was fine. They said that if he waited, like, 10 minutes to go to the hospital, he would have died.
That's insane.
And he's not the kind of person to admit that he's in pain. So, like, something brought him to the hospital. And so we came home, and the night that he was home, the first night that he was home, I was in my room, and I heard something in the hallway, and I wanted to make sure he was okay. Like, he wasn't, like, trying to get water or something. So I got out of bed and opened the door, and there was this tall, shadowy white figure outside of his bedroom. And I just stood there and stared at it because I was thinking, like, maybe it was from going from the light to the dark, like, my eyes were still focusing. Mm-hmm. And I just stared at it, and it was, like, in the shape of a person, like, and very tall, like, to the ceiling. And I just stood there and watched it for, like, 30 seconds, just, like, is this ever going to go away? And then I just, like, watched it just, like, turn into smoke and leave.
And I was, like... Did you feel scared?
Yeah. I mean, like, well, not so much. I think, like, when I was looking at it, I wasn't like, oh my god! But, like, I was like, what? Just kind of amazed by it. You're
like, what am I looking
at? Yeah, like, why? What? And then when I started thinking about it, I was like, what the fuck, what the fuck, what the fuck? Because I was like, what was that? And slammed the door, locked it, got back to watching TV, and the TV went snowy, like, right away for, like, 5 seconds, and then came back, and I was like, oh, like, that is 100% something. Uh-huh. So from that point on, all of this shit started happening to me, not all the time, but, like, I would be able to, like, pick up on changes in energy in the air. Like, there would be, like, cold pockets in my house, and I didn't know what that was, but then, like, as I started watching, like, scary movies, and, like, I watched the movie White Noise that year, which is...
I fucking hated that movie. Yeah, it scared the shit out of me.
Me too! But they would talk about cold pockets and, like, ESP and, like, all of this shit, and I was like, oh my god, like, I feel cold pockets all the time. So then that brings us to my house in Bellingham. I, like, put the Ouija board in storage. Like, I was just like, I don't know if this is responsible, but I'm just gonna, like, fuck that. So then, after freshman year, my parents downsized into a smaller house since both of the kids were out of the house. And so my mom sent a box of stuff up to my house in Bellingham, just because she, like, had no place for it. And in the box was the Ouija board. And I told my roommates, and one of them was like, oh, we should, like, play with it. And, like, I was so far removed from it that I wasn't like, no, we can't, you know? I was just like, fuck yeah, because we were in this old house and, like, you know. So we played with it one night, and it, without a doubt in my mind, opened up a portal in the house. Like, there was so much shit that happened in the house after we played with it one time. Like, there was one night that I was coming out of the bathroom at 3 a.m., which is, like, the time.
It's the witching hour.
Mm-hmm. I was leaving the bathroom, and I felt somebody looking at me at the end of the hallway. You know that feeling?
Ew.
Like, you just feel like you're being watched? But it was 3 a.m., and none of my roommates were up, so I turned around. And, like, it looked like there was, like, a curtain that was just, like, went around the door. And at first I didn't think about it because we had a lot of curtains around the windows in there, but none that long. So I, like, looked at it and kept walking, and I was like, there's no curtain there. So I went to my room and I locked the door, and I was laying in bed, and it sounded like somebody body slammed against the door in my room, like, hard. It wasn't like the house settling. It was like a boom, like, against my door. And I was freaking the fuck out. Eventually got to sleep, like, 5 hours later when it was light out. And the next morning, my roommate came downstairs and she was like, the weirdest shit was happening last night. Like, my fan in my bathroom turned on by itself. She had this touch-based lamp, or the, like, the makeup light that you would touch the base and it would get lighter.
Uh-huh.
It was going by itself. And she was like, I think, like, a circuit was, like, malfunctioning in my room.
That's so, like, cute to be like, there has to be a logical reason.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, well, turns out, no.
It's a ghost, bitch.
The Ouija board opened up some shit. And after that, my roommates kept saying, like, I feel this, like, really negative, dark energy in the house. And then whenever I would go home for a holiday and they were still there, they would say it would not feel like that. So it was tied to me. So my sweet mother sent sage up to me, and we saged the house, and it calmed down after that. But I've always felt, like, psychic in a lot of ways. Like, I can feel when, I've said this on a past episode, but I'm really hard to surprise because, like, I can pick up on things and, like, just different energies. Like, I always know when there's something bad going on in a room in some sense. Like, I'm just very, like, perceptive of what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And that felt like it started then, like, when I was 10, like, when we had, like, the psychic and the Ouija board. And so when they were like, yeah, no, it's like it goes away when you're gone, I'm like, well, that makes sense. Like, it really does feel like it's tied to me. And I still, I talked about this again on a past episode, like, hearing the bird stuck in the corner of my kitchen, like, mm-hmm. the flapping and, like, shit like that will happen. And I never feel scared by it because I don't think that these, whatever it is,
well, if it's happened your entire life,
yeah,
too.
I feel protected by it. It's, like, a weird thing. Like, I don't think that they're they're out for, like, nefarious reasons at all. I just think that, like, this is such a fucking corny way to look at it. But I think that they're always around us, but just not everybody is able to mm-hmm. recognize that they are.
Yeah.
So, like...
Well, I mean, like I was saying, like, I'm very closed off.
Yeah, exactly.
I cannot.
mm-hmm. Yeah. I do... My gut feelings are almost always fact, and they just keep... That keeps getting proven over and over and over, and, like, I keep trying to tell myself that they aren't gut feelings, and I'm just feeling anxious, but then I...
Sometimes it's fear.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Like, I don't know. I'm trying to explain, like, the difference between a gut feeling and fear.
Mm-hmm.
Because I always had a gut feeling that my boyfriend wouldn't be able to come to that wedding with me.
Mm-hmm.
And he couldn't, mm-hmm. but I couldn't explain why.
Yeah.
I was like, he says he's coming, so
why am I
he
feeling must like
yeah. be, but for some reason it's not clicking in my head.
Mm-hmm.
And then he couldn't come.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, that was a gut feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And that, but then, like, being afraid is different.
But that could have also been, you could have looked at that and been like, oh, no, I'm just afraid. So it's, like, it's so hard mm-hmm. to distinguish between the two of them, but.
They do feel different. Like, a gut feeling doesn't feel, I mean, sometimes there's a gut feeling, like, warning you to, like, you're like, there's something weird about this person.
Yes.
And I have to go.
Yeah.
It's
functional.
Yeah. It's not always fear.
Yeah. I know.
I know.
I know. It's hard to distinguish. But I just, like, I get these ideas in my head that are, like, I'm, like, I feel like this and it's right. Like, I'm not, like, I'm feeling like this and, like, maybe I should pay attention to this. I'm just, like, I get these ideas in my head and I'm just, like, well, that's fact. And 99% of the time that's actually the case. So I don't know. It's like, it's something that, like, people that don't, like, skeptics are so like, all right, Amelia, like, shut the fuck up. But I really truly, like, my dad is a skeptic. He's like, okay, yeah, you know. And I understand that. It sounds fucking ridiculous. But, like, it's, I don't know. I was just always, it's just always been a part of me. It's so weird.
When you guys were fucking with the Ouija board in Bellingham, what happened?
It was... The first night that we did it, we had our guy friends over. There was a house of five guys that we would hang out with. And they were moving it. And they were, like, fucking around with us and shit. And, like...
Did it ever get to a point where it felt like it was moving on its own?
Yeah. So the second night... So the first night that we did it with them, we were like, oh, okay, you know. And they left and we did it the next night. And, like, we were barely touching it. And everybody that, like, studies, like, you know, how the mind works and why Ouija boards are, like, what they are is because, like, you want it to move and so it does. But, like, it felt... None of us were, like, putting any sort of pressure on
it. If you haven't done it, it's hard to explain.
Yes.
But I know what you mean. It's just,
like, a magnetic thing. It's weird.
Uh-huh.
It's so weird. And we found out, I don't remember what her name was, but, like, she spelled her name for us, who lived on the lot. She didn't live in the house, but she lived on the lot. And her name started with an R, I think. And a couple of weeks later, we were in the garage, and we were, like, moving stuff around, and there was cement, like, wet cement in the garage. Not wet, but it was wet at one point that somebody had sketched their initials into, and it was an R. We were like, well, that might be a coincidence because she didn't live in the house, but then it's like, who knows? Like, it was just, like, a weird coincidence. Like, shit just kind of started clicking in, like, as the days went on. That was just kind of like, oh, this doesn't really feel like so much of a coincidence. I don't know.
One time, I'll tell my Ouija board story.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever told.
Well, so we made a Ouija board.
What?
Out of a pizza box.
Oh, shit.
And then we used just, like, a shower curtain ring because we couldn't find, like, a glass. And we used that because you can kind of use anything.
Yeah.
And I was freaked out from the beginning. I was, like, sang all my Catholic prayers. I was like, I do not like to fuck with this, but I am curious. And also I had a little bit of FOMO. So we were doing that. And once it was like, you know, it's kind of moving on its own.
Yeah.
We asked, like, how old are you? And then it started going towards zero and then moved and was going to go back towards zero. And then the girl I was with, she was like, nope. She said goodbye to it. And she was like, we don't fuck with that. Like, because it was probably a demon or some shit.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And then the more we did it, It was like my great grandma, maybe.
Yeah.
And it was moving a lot slower, and it's because it's harder to connect to higher energy.
Oh. So
when it's something nefarious, then it's quick.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So when it's like something good, and they try and win you over by answering like questions, like, like, oh, what's my name or whatever, and then they'll try and answer it correctly.
What the fuck? Shit. I mean, the one when I was a kid was pretty fast. And like, for an energy to like glom onto kids too. Like,
oh yeah,
we can get through like through to these kids.
Yeah, because kids are so much more open to new ideas. I didn't know that was ideas. A thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh my god. I also didn't realize that you could make your own and have it work the same way, but it makes sense because it's just cardboard in the end. Like, yeah. There's nothing about how it's made that makes it... I mean,
to close a portal, technically, you're supposed to burn it.
I actually don't know where that Ouija board is now. Just, like, just donate it to Goodwill or something. God
and
damn it.
That's why I don't fuck with Ouija boards. I felt that shit bothered me for a long time. Because I was just like, oh my god, this, like, scary thing, maybe it's following me. Yeah, but probably not. If it followed any of us, I don't think it would be me.
Yeah, and I think you would probably be able to pick up on it, too.
Yeah, and like I said, like, you don't, I'm closed off to generally it. Closed off to that kind of energy, because it scares the fuck out of me.
I mean, it is, yeah.
I cannot handle something supernatural.
You just never know, like, who you're reaching with it. Like,
exactly.
It's so scary.
And that's why I'm like, I don't need to know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh my god, there's...
I don't want to know. I don't need to know.
There's this girl. I meant to send you her videos, but we were in the middle of a conversation. I never did, but I have it saved. But there's this girl who buys haunted dolls on TikTok. As I was watching her videos, I'm like, fuck. Like, this is actually kind of like... She could back it up. Like, she did this video where she was like... She was panning on this bookshelf of... This bookcase of dolls. And she was like... Which one do you think is haunted? And she went one by one, like, really slowly. And then I saw one of them, and I was like, that's the one. Like, I just instantly knew. And that was the one. And I went to the comments, and everyone's like, oh my god, I knew it was, like, there's something about that doll's energy that, like, makes... And there was nothing, like, it wasn't like her face was scarier, or she was dressed differently, but, like, she had an energy. And so I got sucked in. And she, like, adopts, air quotes, these dolls that, like... a spirit clings on to like, because they need a body, like they need to, some spirits feel like they have to be in something to present themselves, and so they cling on to these dolls, and she uses Ouija boards and pendulums to talk to them and get their story. And all of them have very elaborate, like, he was in the Navy and he got discharged for being an alcoholic, and so like he led this like really distressed life, and he's like presenting himself in this like little baby doll body, and she only keeps the good ones, and then she like learns about them and like harbors these relationships with them, and then sells them to people that need them. Like, if there's like a doll whose whole thing is like healing from like a breakup, like this doll went through like a really traumatic marriage and now they know how to make you feel better about it, she like sells those dolls to people that need it.
Interesting. I'm getting chills.
and people will come back and be like, I was a skeptic. Somebody bought this to me thinking that it would help, and it's completely changed my life. She sells, like, itty-bitty ones, like, really small, kind of, like, Polly Pocket-sized dolls for really cheap that have spirits attached to them that serve purposes like confidence, and it will change people's lives. And I'm saying this, and it sounds ridiculous, because, like, when I was watching the videos at first, I was like, what the fuck is this? Like, this
bitch okay, is crazy doll lady.
Yeah, but she's also super normal. Like, she's pretty... like alt, like she has like rainbow bangs. But like she just like stumbled upon this, and she has cameras set up in her house, and she screen recorded because her phone notified her that there was movement in the house when nobody was home, and there's just like shadows just like moving around in her house and like knocking shit off walls and stuff, and she's like, yeah, this new guy just came into the house and like we need to get rid of it, so she like got rid of the doll. Like, it's just Liz, it's amazing. Like, I got it, like,
you have
3 hours.
You have to send me this.
I went down a rabbit hole with this woman. It's pretty incredible. So...
Will it scare me?
No. Okay. I didn't feel scared at all. Like, okay. It's very, like... She explains it, and she's like, yep, this is my new friend, Genevieve. She's, you know, she led a pretty shitty life, but she's, like, all about helping people now. It's so interesting. It's
That's
crazy.
Insane.
Yeah.
Well, and then it's crazy to think that they're, like, might be, like... ghosts and spirits or whatever, like, just hanging out, not in the body of a doll.
Yeah.
Like, maybe looking out for you.
Yes. Yeah. They just, like, needed something to, like, cling on to, like, being in a globe. Like, you don't know. Like, they just kind of like, well, this is me now.
I'm this globe.
I have a body now. Yeah. It's like, I don't know. It's interesting to me.
That is wild.
Yeah. I know. I know. But then, like, I don't know. There's people like my brother who's, like, a devout atheist. Like, does not think there's anything after this.
Yeah.
You know? And, like, I can imagine people listening that are, like, atheists. Like, this bitch is fucking crazy. And I'm telling you, I am a skeptic and I question everything. And, like, this woman.
And her dolls.
And her dolls are, have completely changed my worldview. It's wild. It is wild to me. I'm going to tweet, like, once this episode comes out, I'm going to post a link on our Twitter to this woman's TikTok, because it's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Check our TikTok.
Yeah.
Or not our TikTok. Check our Twitter for her TikTok, because it's...
That shit cray.
Blow your mind.
I'm so excited.
I'm going to send it to you.
Well, like, now I'm looking at all the objects in my apartment. I'm like,
that could be
are you a spirit?
Maybe that's why your lamp falls all the time. Just someone chilling in your lamp.
Well, it's only in that one spot. Like, right above...
I'm telling you.
Could be.
You don't know. Do you have any other stories? Should we do Fuck, Marry, Kill? Because it's 4:18 and I know you want to get to Nordstrom.
I don't have any other spooky stories.
Okay. But I have three.
Okay.
Okay. We're going to do a little crossover episode because these are all from different walks of life. Darth Vader. The old man from Up. And Hagrid.
Bitch. Darth Vader, the old man from Up.
And Hagrid.
And Hagrid. Oh my god. You go first.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
I can't even begin to process this.
I would probably... I feel like I would kill Darth Vader. That just feels like an easy one. You know?
Uh-huh.
Like, that feels like the correct answer of the three. I feel like I would kill Darth Vader.
I don't know.
I would...
My kinky side's like, well...
That's true, actually. I want to marry Hagrid just because... I would have to fuck the old man from Up then. Okay, no, you're right. I'd probably kill the old man from Up because he's lived a good life.
He's ready to join his wife.
I was about to say he probably wants to be reunited with his wife. I would fuck Darth Vader and I would marry Hagrid because I want to be carried around like a baby.
That is a perfect assessment, I would say.
I'm thinking that that's probably the answer.
Yeah, because you know Darth Vader is into some freaky shit.
Oh, for sure. He's going to, like, use the force and, like, choke you out against the wall. I kind of like that.
What about... Okay, so what if it was Kylo Ren, Han Solo, and... Who's...
Chewbacca. No, who's,
Can we put in that?
Who's the...
Oh, we might be thinking of the same guy. Fucking the pilot guy.
Oh, that actor that... Oh my god, what's that actor's
Why
name?
Why am I forgetting the character's name? Poe. Yeah, Poe Dameron.
So, Oscar Isaac is actually, like, a perfect human to me.
Poe Dameron?
I just think Oscar Isaac is so... Like, are you kidding? Like, there's something about him that's so, like, distinguished. There's something very distinguished about him, but not in a cocky way. Like, I feel like he grew up not being hot, and he's just, like, become a fine wine. I fucking love Oscar Isaac. I would probably marry Poe. I would fuck Kylo Ren. And I would kill Han Solo. Just because I don't think I like Harrison Ford as a person. But I wouldn't kill Harrison Ford. but that, you know, of the three, that's the rationale that I have to assign. I think that that's my answer.
What about you? I think I would probably kill Han Solo. But I think I would marry Kylo Ren.
Wow. You do like Kylo Ren.
I like that emotional intensity.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then I would fuck Poe. But wait, I need to read this. Yeah.
That's a good segue.
I had sent this tweet to Amelia the other day.
It is phenomenal.
I'm pulling it up right now. It's Am I the Asshole? And it just cracked me the fuck up. The way it's written is hilarious, too. Okay. So is it, am I the asshole for being sick of my girlfriend's obsession with Adam Driver? Recently, my girlfriend has developed a strong obsession with the actor Adam Driver. I think it's worth noting that my girlfriend has always had some strange views when it comes to movies I watch. She didn't like me watching movies with nude scenes in them. She doesn't like me watching films with actresses she thinks I find attractive, etc. This never really bothered me as I'm not a massive movie watcher, and I'd rather her be happy than watch films she doesn't like. This started about a month ago when she told me she'd watched all the Star Wars movies. She'd always jokingly mocked me for being a geek for liking Star Wars, so I was a little surprised. After some discussion of the films, it became pretty clear that her favorite character was Kylo Ren, and from that she proceeded to watch pretty much every movie Adam Driver has starred in. I didn't really mind, and I was pretty happy to see her liking something we had in common. About a week later, Adam Driver or Kylo Ren started to make his way into every conversation. And I mean every conversation. If we talked about cars, she would bring up that she wanted a Kylo Ren air freshener. If we talked about clothes, she'd bring up how I wear all black a lot, just like Kylo Ren. Any film discussions would be about Star Wars or another film he was in. I figured she just has a celebrity crush, but it was starting to become a little annoying to have to constantly talk about this one dude. This carried on escalating with us talking about Adam Driver on a daily basis, and it got to the point where we would talk about nothing else. Like, I couldn't bring up something in my own life without it somehow turning to him. Last week, she suggested we change the couple's Halloween costume we had planned for a Kylo and Rey gender bend. When I said I didn't want to dress up as Rey, she said she knew it was a boring costume, but I should do it so she could be Kylo. I know this seems like a small deal at this point, but the situation has climaxed in her getting a cardboard cutout of Adam Driver. He sits in her room wearing a hat. It's a life-size cutout, not something you could miss. I haven't really stayed at her house for a while because of COVID, but there is absolutely no chance I am sleeping with my girlfriend while the man she talks about 24/7 stands and watches like some freaky guardian angel. I'm beyond sick of him now. I can't watch his movies anymore, and I really just don't want to talk about him anymore. I see him everywhere. He is all I hear about, and whilst he seems like a nice enough man, I wish he had never been born if it meant I didn't have to have another conversation about him. I know maybe I seem jealous, but that isn't my problem. I'm just so tired of how much he is involved in my life to the point where he will now watch me and my girlfriend sleep. Please tell me I'm not going crazy. Am I the asshole?
It is so fucking funny how it's written, but also that sounds so irritating. Like, I can't imagine what he must be feeling like, but how it's written, like some sort of freaky guardian angel.
Well, and I think it's interesting that she wants to dress up as Kylo Ren.
Yeah, it's an interesting
so
twist.
I think it's beyond a celebrity crush.
Yeah,
there's like something deeper there. Yeah, well, and I was thinking about how I just have never, there hasn't been a single thing in my life that I have felt like that about.
Nope, me neither.
And I wonder what it feels like to be a stan.
Yeah, you know, like that's like taking it the next level.
I mean, I definitely have like an unexplainable attraction to Kylo Ren, as many women do, where you're like, Adam Driver isn't necessarily attractive, but there's something really fucking hot about this character.
Yeah, people have,
and like, I don't understand.
Yeah, people have like a reaction to that. It's like, what is it about Kylo Ren?
Oh my god, I remember sitting in the theater with my ex, like, because I didn't see the first movie with Kylo Ren, I saw the second one with him in it, and then I rewatched. I was like, what am I feeling right now?
Yeah.
This is
what is going
like
on?
This sexual tension between the two, between Kylo Ren and Rey, is palpable. Like, and I was like, oh my god, I haven't felt like this like excited since like high school.
Oh.
And then I watched the first one where he like takes off his helmet, and I don't know what it is, but they do an amazing job, and you're just like. And then he's like, don't be afraid, I feel it too. And then you're like, what?
Are you flirting with me right now?
And then even Rey, you could tell she's kind of like,
fuck, I'm a little hot.
I don't know what is so hot about him. Because if I saw him walking on the street, I wouldn't be like, whoa, you know?
He has so much Scorpio energy. It is overwhelming.
So sexy. Did you know Adam Driver has a phobia of watching his films? He can't watch his films.
I wouldn't want to watch my films either.
But, like, as an actor, like, there has to be some element that you're, like, you know, a student of your own work. Because you have to, like, know what to improve on.
He is weird.
He is. Have but you... he had an NPR interview, and they played, like, a clip from his movie, and he got up and left. He was like, it's an actual phobia. I'm like, sir, you are very talented. You should probably watch your films. That was interesting.
Yeah.
I'm like, you need to figure out what people are freaking out so much about, sir. You gotta watch your own shit. Anyway.
That's also kind of hot. Yeah. That he's just like, no. He just shows up, he does the job, and then he leaves.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I just work here. Big, I just work here energy.
I just work your energy. what was I going to say? I don't know. I remember watching an interview with him and people from his acting classes when I can't remember what college he went to. But he would, like, make people cry from, like, screaming at them. Whoa. When he was, like, in a role, like, they would start crying.
Yeah, I mean, he gets so intense that, film that he did with Scarlett Johansson, the Netflix film. I haven't either, but I've watched the scene. I follow this Twitter account that shows a scene from a movie, and then it shows the script below it, and it's kind of like a karaoke kind of thing. Like, it's, like, going with the... So I've watched that scene before and read it as it was happening, and I had watched the scene without the script the first time, and it felt improv'd because he was so in it that it felt off the cuff. But he said everything word for word, like, in how it was written, but he sells it so well that, like, it makes you feel like he's actually feeling it. I cannot imagine being in a scene with him and not being completely terrified of him. Because Scarlett Johansson is also a good actor, whatever. I mean, like, whatever. I'm mad at her because she's engaged to my husband. But she was standing there, like, looking at him, just, like, she looked genuinely scared. And, like, so I totally get it. Like, he, like, punched a wall at one point, like... You get so into it. Have you heard of Meisner? The acting technique Meisner? So, like, I feel like he's probably, like, the scariest person to do Meisner with. Because he probably cuts you so fucking deep. Because he gets so into character. He's just amazing to me. Like, I'm just fascinated by him. Like, if I was sitting in a room with him, I would not be able to say a single word. I'd be so afraid of him.
Just be like...
Yeah, I would just be scared. Like... I don't know. He feels very powerful.
While we're on the topic of Adam Driver, I saw this TikTok that, like kept zooming in on his hands to show how big they were.
Oh my
God. It was, like, him holding things.
That's amazing.
But I've totally done that and sent pictures to you of, like, guys. It was a specific guy. I remember he's, like, holding something. I sent you a screenshot of...
Oh, yeah.
Wait, I sent you a picture of, I know, that's coincidental,
oh my
but
God.
Him holding, like, a can, and I was like, his hands look so big.
The can looks so mini.
But, I mean, even my boyfriend's hands are so big. I just, like, I have something about hands, like, big hands, I don't know.
There's something very protector vibe-ish about big hands.
They're just, I need them.
Yeah, same.
I need his big hands, too. Hold me.
I just love feeling little. Mm-hmm. Like, I just love how small I feel with big hands. Music Man has huge hands, and he'll, like, put his hand on my face, and I just feel, like, so, like, tiny. I'm just like...
I love a big hand.
Oh, my God.
Anyway,
we really derailed.
Yeah. On that note...
Thanks for listening.
Love you.
We should, you should tweet us. Or
tell,
like,
us your big hand stories.
Yeah, we want to hear all about
big hands. Tell us about your favorite big hands.
Or do you have big hands? Yeah. Tell us about it.
Yeah. Yeah, tell us about your big hands.
Educate us on what it's like.
What do you do with your big hands?
Yeah, what do you palm?
Does everything feels tiny to you?
Yeah, what's that like? We have questions, so hit us up. At The Holy Hour on Twitter and Instagram, or our email, holyhourpodcast@gmail.com.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Love you.
Oh. We sound like Tarzan when we do that.